All right, we're in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, we're going to pick up at verse 16. We left off at 16, and we'll see how far we get down this morning. I'm going to read 14, 15, 16, 17, and then we'll open up in prayer. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for your word and the study of it. We pray, as always, for enlightenment and understanding as we look into these things of being an heir and joint heir with Christ and being sons of God. We thank you for recording these things. We pray for the listening ears, that our hearts and minds might be open and that we might be as the Bereans who search the scriptures to see whether those things be so. We pray for the body universal, that each member might be strengthened according to your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right, we're picking up in verse 16. We actually left off there last week. We're getting into the heir and heirship of the believer, and that is the things that we have received and the things that we will receive as believers in Christ. In verse 14, we talked about being led by the Spirit, that is, being directed by His Word into His will, being directed by His Word into His will to do those things that He finds worthy and well-pleasing. And this is the Spirit that we have once we are saved. That's called the Spirit of Adoption. The Holy Spirit is there not only as the earnest of our inheritance, but He's the empowerer that enables us to do what God wants. That's why we are debtors to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Not only does He make us an heir, but He enables us to do those things as that's pleasing as a son. 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby, by that spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The significance of the Abba, Father cry, when the Lord cried that cry in Gethsemane, it was the bottom line turned out to be not His will, but what the will of the Father was, in spite of the circumstances. We looked at the loss. The fear of the Lord said that He was exceeding sorrowful. So He was definitely faced with the reality that this was, humanly speaking, the decision that He was going to make was not in His best interest as humanly speaking. But in the plan of the Father, it was absolutely necessary, wasn't it? I think a verse in Luke said it behooved Him to suffer. Well, that didn't sound like that in the garden, did it? To be exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And then you can turn around in Luke and you read where the Lord said, the scriptures recorded that it behooved Him to suffer. That's after the fact. But going to it, He did say, not my will, but thy will. And He did cry that cry, Abba, Father. And that's where in our situation, we are now called to be sons of God. We have that position, and Paul is appealing to us in Romans 8 for our practice to match that position of son, of being sons. In our circumstances, he wants us to cry the same cry as Abba, Father. It's not our will, but His will. And we know how trying that could be, especially when we don't think things are in our best interest. And that's all the Father's will is. It's in our best interest. I think there's a verse, I think it's in Romans, says we can do Corinthians. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. All these things, Jenny, all these things are for us, not against us. All the spiritual doctrine that Paul records, that's given for our obedience, for our instruction. These things are for us, and they're for him. Let me look at a verse real quick here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just while this is in my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Now, what I wanted was this, that the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Is the Holy Spirit is residing in us so that we are able, not only are we are the possession of the Lord, but literally to be possessed, is that he might work his will out through us, that we can say, each one of us, not my will, but his will. In verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We looked at that last week. You know, that's not a feeling that you're going to get, and it's not an audible voice that you're going to hear, that the Spirit whispers to you and says, you're saved. You belong to the Lord. It's not going to happen like that. You have to embrace these truths by faith. The Spirit bears witness by his word, by the word dwelling in us, by the word, I say, and more specifically, the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. That's the importance of our study and taking in the word, that the Holy Spirit may have some things to work with. Look down at verse 16 while we're in the same book, Romans 8. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. What would stop you from praying for the things you know to pray for?
Knowledge of doctrine.
Knowledge of doctrine. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what?
Will of God.
According to the will of God. The Spirit, he takes our, not only our physical infirmities, but our spiritual deficiencies, and he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. He says, you know what he says? He says, Abba, Father, until you're able to say Abba, Father. He takes our prayers, and you don't see this, and he says, I know what they ask for, Lord, but what they need is a little more information, that what they ask for will line up with what you want. In Ephesians, Paul prays that we might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that we might get to know what he wants, what we're called for. And most of the times, we talked about this last week, is most times we like to tailor God to what we want. We want his will to conform to our will. So we cry, son, son, not Abba, Father. It's more what we want and not what he wants. And I would say these things ought not to be. The only thing that changes that is as our knowledge increases, and as our knowledge increases, then our willingness to submit should increase. And that's not a guarantee, but it should. When we get to know the love of Christ, and 2 Corinthians says that the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then all were dead. And the lives that we henceforth live, we should not live unto ourselves, but to him which died and rose again. Now, that's being led. That's not being driven. That's constraining. And that's not constraining in the fact or you're constrained by against your will. That's a willing constraint, a loving constraint. You know, we can do things that are not out of a loving conviction, but a fear and a driving conviction. That's not what God wants from us as sons. Back to verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We talked about the Spirit. That's the earnest of our, no pun intended, Sharon. That's the earnest of our inheritance. That is the guarantee that He's with us. That's the guarantee that He's for us. Not only that He's dwelling in us, but we're guaranteed as being heirs and guaranteed an inheritance. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's flip over there. Ephesians chapter 1, the moment we're saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom we have also obtained, what? An inheritance. In whom? How do you get in whom? By faith.
Baptism.
Baptism by the Spirit. You get the moment we believe, we get the earnest of the inheritance, the assurance of the inheritance. The Holy Spirit ensures your inheritance. In whom, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, which is the guarantee, the assurance that you have somewhere to go. That's why Paul can say to the Thessalonians that to sorrow not as others who have no hope. See, when you're dead, that's not it. He's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's us. We've been purchased. The Holy Spirit is I'll say like our pastor used to say, He's the receipt. God has purchased us and He gives you the receipt, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's the guarantee that you belong to Him. And one day, called the day of redemption or the adoption, He's coming to pick up His package. Packages. When I say that, you know, a lot of times we get packages dropped off and they just come and drop it off and drive off. You don't even know. A lot of times you don't even know that they've been there. And sometimes they, you know, they don't care about those packages. They say they do, but they leave them out in the rain. They leave them in the grass. They throw them. It may say fragile on the package. They don't care. They put them out in the open where people can take them. We have an awesome mailman. Sometimes he leaves our packages down on the street. But I said that because, you know, God, he's got such care for His package. He's coming to pick them up personally. Packages. I keep saying packages. Now, collectively, we're a package, but it consists of packages. But that's the earnest. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance, the guarantee. And again, He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And this happens by faith. We have to read this and believe this. 2 Corinthians, just flip back to chapter 2. Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22.
Did you say 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22.
Thank you.
I'll just read 21. Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And what I want, I'm going to read down to verse 24. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. That's how the earnest of the Spirit, you have to get that assurance by faith, through faith. Colossians chapter 1, in verse, start at verse, let's start at verse 3. Didn't want to go back that far, but we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you. What has come unto you? The truth of the gospel. And as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. We just read a verse that's he was a helper of their joy. Same thing that Paul said in Corinthians. Those who minister the word to us, they're just helpers of our joy. They're helpers. They don't bring the joy. The gospel brings the joy. They're just helpers of our joy. Verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, take that verse before we go to the next verse and compare that with Romans 8, and where the Spirit has to help and the Spirit has to make intercession for us according to the will of God. Compare those believers who know not what to pray for. Compare it to this verse where Paul says, I'm praying now that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. If you're filled with the knowledge of his will, would that change your prayer life? Could you say then, not my will, but his will?
Yes.
You can't say, not my will, but his will, if you don't know anything but my will. My will meaning your will. You can't choose what's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God if we don't know it. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the reason why you get that information is to show how smart you are. Oh, no. I'm glad somebody's listening. The reason is that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's the goal. Now, same book, flip over to chapter 2. Same principle where Paul says to be a helper of your joy. I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, Paul is praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And by the knowledge of his will, they have the full assurance of understanding. The Holy Spirit taking God's word, he'll reinforce that in you. That you can have the full assurance of understanding what God wants, what he wants from you, what he's going to do with you, in you, through you. That only comes from reading his word. You don't just happen upon that. It doesn't happen like that. It happens from the reading, from the being established. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, I'm writing this epistle to establish you. That is, that I might be comforted together by the mutual faith, both of you and me. The Holy Spirit, he does that. He takes those words and he's able to comfort and strengthen and edify us with those words. That's how he bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He takes the words where you might doubt, and all you have to do is go back and you read the verse, or you rehearse it in your mind. If you think you went out Friday night, Saturday night, and you lost your salvation, so they say. But how can you, if you're sealed to the day of redemption, how can you be saved on Monday and lose your salvation on Friday? The Spirit wouldn't tell you that. The Spirit would bear witness with yours if you believe the verses. Now, he might tell you that you've been a disobedient son, that you've been walking as a child of disobedience, but he wouldn't say that you're no longer in the family. That's a fact. That is a seal, is the guarantee, is the security of the relationship. Okay, back to 8, Romans 8. I know somebody says, I know that. I know I'm saved. Move on. All right, we're moving on then. Romans 8. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, here's the part that you don't want me to get to, but here it is. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. That's automatic. The moment you believe, you become an heir automatically. The Lord doesn't operate like angry fleshly parents where I'm not leaving you anything or you're cut out of the wheel. He doesn't do that. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's what Galatians says. We become a child of God by faith the moment we believe. You know, that didn't happen. The one thing Paul said about the in Romans 9, Paul said about the Jews that they did not obtain that which they seeketh for. And the reason why is they sought it not, but as it were, by the works of the law. Now, you can't work up on eternal life. That's the base inheritance. That's the inheritance, eternal life. And you get that by righteousness. And you get righteousness by perfection. And you get perfection by works. His works.
His works.
Imputed to us. I know, Sharon, you looked at, what is he talking about? No. Imputed righteousness.
Okay. Thank you. Perfection works. Wait a minute.
I just want to make sure everybody's listening.
Yeah. We're on the wrong lesson.
By his works, right.
Okay. Now, thank you.
Acts chapter 7. Let me read something for you. It's interesting.
Did you say Acts 7?
Acts chapter 7.
Thank you.
When Stephen is reading he's witnessing to the nation, the leaders, all those leaders are there, and he goes through from the beginning all the way to the end of their history. And he says something in verse 51, Acts 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. you know one thing, that he's not talking to sons, is he? He's not. He's definitely not talking to those who cry, Abba, Father, is he?
No, they resist the Spirit.
They resist his will. They're not saying, what is his will? They're resisting it. Verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Watch the next verse. Who have, these are, he's talking to these Jews, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now, that's a very interesting verse. Do you know what they received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? Now, some time ago, I don't know if we spoke about this, but that word is the disposition doesn't mean like we think it means. In our day, we talk about he has a nasty disposition. A disposition is a legal term. It's a transaction by which you entrust the a property to another person. You entrust an inheritance to another person or party that's able to upkeep it and that's able to care for it. So everything that God wanted, he encapsulated it in the law, and he gave it to the nation because they said they can do it. As a son, as an obedient son, as a worker together with God, they said, we can do it, but we don't need your help. And naturally, when he entrusted them with that property, what happened? They lost it. He said, you received the law by the disposition of angels, and you have not kept it.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Karen.
Could that be applied as blasphemy because they were saying, yeah, we can do it, and they didn't, and it's like taking the name of the Lord, saying, yeah, we're going to do this, and then not doing it. It's like taking the Lord's name in vain, right?
You can say that. They definitely didn't utilize his grace. He was there to help them. And yet we can look back and we know these things were going to happen because they couldn't do it without the Spirit. That's why they couldn't keep it. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Now the Holy Spirit is in us. You don't have to worry about performing for his approval. For salvation, you don't have to worry about whether I'm going to make this or not, whether I'm going to make it in or not. We all become heirs by faith. This position is settled. All he's asking us now is to operate, to function as sons. You won't lose this inheritance. You didn't earn it by works. You won't lose it by works or lack thereof. That's a settled. That's where he said we're all the children of God by faith. Hold your hand there, Titus. Look back at Titus chapter 1. He says something. Titus chapter 1. We get to chapter 1. Verse 1. Let's start there. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope, that's anticipation, expectation, of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's, man, this is Ephesians, the predestination, Romans, the predestination, those who believe. When that gospel, when you respond positively to that gospel, you are automatically become an heir. You automatically become an heir of eternal life that God promised to those that believe. But in due times has manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. All right, chapter 3. same book, chapter 3. Put them in mind, verse 1, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now he's talking to believers the way they used to be. But you know what? Some of us still have some of those characteristics, don't we? Hateful, hating. What'd you say?
I said all of us.
All of us. That sounded like a question mark, but
yes, it was a question mark.
Well, I can look at a couple of those, and I can check off on them. Not that I'm doing them habitually, but I definitely see that on my list. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, being justified by his grace, we should be made, what? Heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. The Holy Spirit comes in the moment you believe, where Paul said this, he shed him on us abundantly. That's what guarantees us that heirship. We are heirs according to the expectation of eternal life. You who were sometimes foolish, disobedient, that doesn't sound like you're working for it, does it? Serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, hateful, hating one another. Everything is in there but obedience. You don't get salvation by works. You don't get eternal life by working for it. It's a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, that's the heir, but the next verse in Ephesians says, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, son, walk as a son. That's what he's asking. He's not asking for anything that we can't do, or, as we looked at it, shouldn't be willing to do, as those who cry, Abba, Father, right? If we cry that cry. Okay, back to
like you said, he doesn't ask anything of us that he doesn't give us or empower us to perform.
He doesn't ask anything that they're not right, that we're not able to perform. Now, speaking of which, when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, they were going into, the scripture says, they were going into his inheritance. He called it his inheritance, going into the sanctuary. You remember that verse in Exodus? Okay. All right. Exodus 15, verse 16. Now, Johnny, we talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember that, but it's 15:16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as steel as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Now, this has many parallels to us. One of the things when the nation of Israel, they were in bondage 400 years, God sent the deliverer, Moses, to bring them out. And when he brought them out, the scripture says he brought them out by their armies. And Johnny and I were speaking about this. They had, when he went in to recover them, to redeem them out of Egypt, they had no idea that they were an army. In other words, they didn't know that they were getting ready to do battle. But who did? God did. They didn't know that they were getting ready to dispossess some people from the sanctuary who had defiled the sanctuary. Sanctuary being the land of Canaan. As a matter of fact, they didn't. The closest thing they picked up to a weapon was probably some stick that mashed brick and mortar with. But they weren't prepared to do any battle. But they came out as an army. In verse 17, the Lord said He was bringing them into the mountain of thine inheritance, into the place where He was going to dwell, into His sanctuary, because those people coming out of Egypt, they didn't know that they were to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, but they're coming out as heirs, aren't they? They don't know. They don't know that. As a matter of fact, they have little to no knowledge about where they're even going. The Lord just told them, this is where we're going. When you get there, we're going to have to do a little house cleaning before you go in. But they weren't expecting that. But the problem was, and it had to be this way, when they went through the wilderness, God says He took them through to prove, Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works which He had done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They didn't have the spirit of sons, did they? Whereby they cry, Abba, Father. When they went through the wilderness, they cried everything but Abba, Father, didn't they? They murmured, they complained, they tempted God, they provoked Him. And God recorded these things. He told us what they did. He says, you have tempted me these 10 times. And as a matter of fact, when He told them to go in, let me finish reading this up. Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. And He goes on to talk about it. Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Now, I read that to show they came through and they didn't cry, Abba, Father. They didn't have the spirit to be sons, even though He wanted to take them to His inheritance, even though He wanted to plant them in His sanctuary. He defeated all those enemies. He took them to the land. He asked them, you pick out 12. Go in and you search it out. And you tell me if it's what I said it is. I just want what's best for you as my inheritance. And they went in, searched it out, and only two men came back with faithful hearts, and the scripture said, with a different spirit. You know who that was?
Spirit of unbelief?
That was a spirit. Well, not for those two. There was a spirit of belief. Johnny even said something, but you're on mute.
What did you say?
I said, those two men came back with a faithful report.
Joshua and Caleb.
Because the scripture said this, they had in them a different spirit, a different heart. Matter of fact, let me show you this. Joshua, I believe it's in chapter 1. Let's see. I'm going to quote that. He said that they had a different spirit in this, that they followed me fully, that they had fully followed the Lord. So they had complete trust in what God had promised that he was able to perform.
Numbers 14:24.
That's what I said, right?
Didn't find it. I was just saying.
No, they're spelled differently.
Numbers 14. Okay. Numbers 14:24. Okay. Thank you. Verse 20. Let's start at verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto the fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, he's out of all those men, he picked two, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was the leader. We know he had a different spirit. God had already picked him and commissioned him. He had already set him aside. But he said Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of all those men. Their little ones went in, but those men, he let them wander in the wilderness, and they did not partake in the inheritance. Even though they had come out of Egypt prepared for it. You say, where are you going with that? I'm just showing you that these two men, the Lord recognized them for their faithfulness. He recognized them for their trust in his word. As a matter of fact, when the inheritance was actually divided, you know what Caleb said? He said, I'm paraphrasing this. He said, Moses, he was talking to Joshua. He says, remember, the Lord said, I was going to get this mountain because I obeyed him. And then when they passed it out, he says, okay, I want that mountain now. I got to show you that one. I might need some help on that one too. Joshua, it's toward the end. So it's going, Joshua, let's go toward the end. 24. How many chapters in Joshua? 24 chapters.
Yep.
Let's see. Joshua 19, verse 49. I like the way Joshua put this. Joshua 19:49. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. Now that's not the one I want, but it was similar to that. He asked for the inheritance which the Lord gave him. He had promised him that. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. He said, you remember what Moses talked about with God, about you and me, right? You remember that conversation, right? 40 years was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, and it was in mine heart, as it was in mine heart. Key phrase. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me my stuff. He said, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced, if so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, we're going to have to stop there. I didn't mean to take that much time on the side issue, but what we're going to take away from this is the inheritance. Here's I believe this is a snapshot into what the Lord will do when you're faithful to his word, is you don't walk with the Lord and it's in vain. When you're saved, we all have that tendency to quit. We all have that tendency to, we'll check out. You know, it's okay. I just, you know, it's okay for me just to be saved. But we forget about applying the word to our life. We forget about magnifying him as we go along, because that's what he purchased us for, right? As an inheritance, that Christ might be magnified in us. And this is where the Lord, he has these two men who believed in him, who believed in his word, who believed that what God was able to do, well, he said that he was able to perform it. And he did. And God rewarded those men for their faithfulness. Notice, he said this, but in verse 8, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. Surely, verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. I want verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. This is what I want. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. That's what I want, is this. He's not asking us to labor if he's not with us. That's why Paul can say this. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but what? The Lord that was with me. You're not, when I said the Holy Spirit was your empower, that's what he's there for. We're just vessels, and we are yielded up for his use. And God, in his exceeding abundant grace, says, when it's all said and done, I'll reward you for your faithfulness. Isn't that crazy?
That's great.
Now, we're going to stop there. I thought we'd get a little farther. We'll pick back up at verse 16 and come down next week. So we're going to stop and close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the reading and believing of it. And we pray, as always, that we might, as we meditate on these things, that your word might become more and more clear to us as we read and believe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.